Joshua chapter 1, the children of Israel at this point is fixing to go in to the promised land. They're fixing to go start their battles. And we're going to find out that Moses has died. You go to the prior chapter, and there in the book of Deuteronomy, God has led Moses up on Mount Nebo. He is 120 years old. The Bible said that his natural forces were not abated. His eyes had not been. In other words, Moses was just as strong as he ever was. He could see just as good as he could ever see. And God took him up on Mount Nebo and let him look out and out across all of the land of Canaan and let him see what the children of Israel and that was going to inherit. But we find in chapter 1, it says, "Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord." Now, ain't that a wonderful, wonderful testimony that could be said about anybody? The servant of the Lord. "It came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land, which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you again, and that for another wonderful time that you've given us to come and worship you this morning. Lord, we pray that if there's somebody here lost without you, I pray that they'd get saved today. I pray that you'd speak to their heart and show them that they need to get saved and that they would move. Lord, I ask and pray for the one that might have a need. I pray that need would be met this morning. But while we preach, we pray that you would give us an unction from the Holy One. And Lord, that you would just touch us and anoint us afresh, for there's nothing we can do without you. We just need your touch this morning. And Lord, we just pray that you would help during this service. Come by now, and we'll give the glory for all, and save that sinner's nearest hell for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray. Amen. And amen. You be seated this morning. As God is getting the children of Israel now ready to go, I'm ready to fight. Now you have to understand, and I'll probably make this mention again. You have to understand that some things are fixing to change for the children of Israel. For 40 years they have wandered in the wilderness. For 40 years God has fed them with manna and with quail. He has allowed their clothes and that not to wear out. He's allowed the shoe and that to grow, I really believe, and that upon the foot. God has took care of them. He's led them by fire of the nighttime, a pillar of fire by night, and a pillar of cloud by day. And God has took care of them. And they're fixing to go over into the promised land. If you look in verse 5, you'll find that as he was with Moses, so I'll be with you. And he said, "Listen, I'm going to be with you and take care of you. And every word that I've said," he said, "it will come true." He encourages them in verse 7 and that to be strong and to be courageous. He encourages them that and that to keep the word of God. And boy, ain't that something that folk need to do today. And I'm going to be honest, in the day that we're living, you've got to be strong and courageous and that to live the word of God out in this world. Amen. Hey, folk will make fun of you. They'll poke fun at you. They'll think you're strange and peculiar. And I'll tell you this morning, we ought to be peculiar. Amen. If you're saved, we ought to be peculiar people. Your family may not understand you. But friend, I'm going to tell you today, God wants us to be a peculiar people. As we go on down right here, he said in verse 8, he said, "Don't let the law depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." He wanted and that the children of Israel and that to remember his word and what he done. Verse 9, he said, "I've commanded you." He said, "Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Ain't that a wonderful promise for the children of Israel? And it's the same promise And that for you today, if you're saved, that the Lord is with you. Amen. In John 14, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Thank God. And for that, hey, we preached on the silence of God just a few weeks ago. And looked at Job about how that, at least Job couldn't find him and couldn't see him. But God is always a present help in a time of trouble. But I want to look here in verse 2 where he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise, go over this Jordan. I said, preacher, how are you going to preach on that? I kind of wondered that myself, amen, when I sat down to study. But this morning I want to preach having a thought that you can't live in. And then put a blank at the end of that. First of all, let me say that you cannot live in the past. You can look to the past and you can enjoy the memories of the past, but you cannot live in the past. He's telling the children of Israel over here, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Things is changing. He says, I took him up on Mount Nebo. And by the way, you ever wonder why God took Moses up on Mount Nebo and buried him up there himself? You ever wonder about that? Why God done that? Do you realize if you go to the book of Jude over there that Michael the archangel contended about with Satan over the body of Moses? You know why Satan wanted that body of Moses? He'd have drug it out, drug it back down there to the children of Israel, and they would have set him up as an idol, I have no doubt. You remember when Moses built that, I'll get started in a minute. You remember when he built that brazen serpent, and because they were being bit by all them snakes because of their sin, and the Lord told Moses to make a brazen serpent and tell them to look to it, and if they'll look to it, they'll live. Hey, listen, that is the type of Christ Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. But you know what they've done in later years? They took that brazen serpent that Moses lifted up on a stick, and I believe they called it Nusatan, and they began to worship that thing. Imagine what they would have done with the body of Moses if they would have had it. But he says right here, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise and go over this Jordan. He didn't want them no longer living in the wilderness. He didn't want them no longer living in the past. Do you realize that in all of that 40 years that Moses and the children of Israel wandered around in the wilderness out there, that they'd say, would to God that we were down in the land of Egypt. You go to Exodus 16 and you'll find that they said that, I believe it was at the beginning of that chapter, they wished that they were back in the land of Egypt. Hey, after I got saved, I've never wanted to go back into this world. The Bible said over here in verse 2 of chapter 16, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Though he brought them into the wilderness, and that to get them free, and that out of the land of Egypt, and they didn't know how to trust God. Can I tell you, you may be living in the past because you don't know how to trust God. You can't let go of some things in the past, and you're trying to live there, and God don't want you living in the past. He wants you living in the now. Amen. I'll make some sense of this hopefully with God's help today. For 40 years they wandered in the wilderness, but God brought them out. And God said, Moses is dead. Now rise and go over Jordan. Can I tell you that your children, there comes a time that your children must grow up spiritually. Amen. There was a time that me and my wife, had to grow up spiritually. We couldn't live in that any longer on the convictions of our parents. We couldn't live any longer. And I'm glad that they told us. I'm glad that they instructed us. And they gave us an example and that to live by. But there come a day when me and her could not live in the past because mom and dad said to go to church because they said to live for God. Hey, I had to pick this book up and begin to read it for myself and found out that that was the truth. The whole time. But I had to make my own choice. A lot of people want to live in the past. You need to teach your children, hey, there's coming a day you're going to have to make your own choices. There's coming a day when you're going to be confronted with these things. And the best thing you can do is fall on your knees and pray and crack the Bible open and begin to read it. There's nothing wrong with giving your children at any age godly and spiritual advice. There's nothing wrong with that. I still seek and that good counsel. The Bible said in a multitude of counselors there is safety. But there comes a time. You know what the Bible said, to train up the child in the way that goes, when he's old, he'll not depart from it, because there's coming a day when that child is not going to be able to live in their childhood. They're going to have to live in the now. You understand what I'm talking about? Hope I'm making sense this morning. But you can't live in the past. Some young adults have a tendency that when they get away from home, whether they're married or unmarried, that they have a tendency and that to want to quit God. They have a tendency in that to want to quit church. They have a tendency in that to want to quit tithing. I'd be afraid to quit tithing. I'd be afraid to quit church. I mean, listen, God bless you. Faithfulness, I know that. And listen, I honestly believe this, that if you're saved today, you say, now preacher, are you trying to scare me? I ain't trying to scare you, but I want you to understand that every folded dollar bill and what's sitting in your bank account and what you've got buried in the backyard, hey, listen, friend, it's all God's, and He'll get it one way or another. Amen. So why don't you just give it up willingly and freely and by desire instead of wanting to hold on to everything you got. Amen. That's extra, but it didn't cost you nothing. Amen. So children have to get out of the past. Then we have to get out of the past. What are you talking about? We have to get out of the past. As I've said, there's nothing wrong with memories, and I think you ought to have memories of what's taken place in the past. But if you ever got around folk, and I've been guilty of saying it myself, I wish that we could have meeting like the old timers used to have. Now there's nothing wrong with that statement. I wish we could have meetings like the old timers used to have. There's nothing wrong with that. But a lot of people are captivated and they're trapped in the past when it comes to church. They talk about what they used to do. They talk about how God used to come by. Boy, when the choir used to sing. Boy, when heaven used to come down. Well, what's happened? We can't live in the used to. We can't live in the past. Now, I like to look back to the past. I've seen God move in this church. I've watched Him come by, felt Him come by, seen Him move in folks' lives, and I believe He's still doing it today. But we can't live in even yesterday, last week, a year ago, 10 years ago, 17 years ago. We can't live there. We've got to live in the now. So, what about it, preacher? What about them old-timers? I would ask myself this question. If what we remember about... Let me say this. You remember when Ezra went back to Jerusalem and they began to build the temple over there in Jerusalem. And they got the foundation of that thing laid. And when they got started on building the temple, it said that the younger generation, the younger folks, shouted for joy. But the ancient generation cried. Why is that? The ancient generation remembered what that building looked like to start with. Some of y'all sitting in here remember what church was 50 years ago. When you couldn't find a seat to sit down. When folk loved their neighbor. Amen? When you was concerned about your neighbor, whether they were lost or saved, you were concerned about them. If they needed help, didn't matter. Didn't matter about their spiritual condition, you went and helped them. Amen. If they needed it, you took care of it. Listen, there's something wrong. And again, there's nothing wrong with looking back. But the question I would ask is what did they have different that we don't have today? How the Lord would come by in conviction power. I listened to Brother Berman Cake say one time, he was talking about a meeting that he was preaching years ago. And he talked about a man that was under such conviction that when he moved to get saved, that he just fell out in the floor. Not he didn't pass out. I'm just saying that he just fell out in the floor right there and got on his knees and asked God to save. I'm talking about conviction power. When the revival preacher knelt up a sign out in the front yard that said revival, that every bootlegger and harlot either got right or got out of town, one or the other. Because they're scared of the conviction power of God. When you've seen loved ones and neighbors get right and loved ones and neighbors get saved and they would see their prayers answered and we talk about the good old days. Boy, I wished or used to. God told Joshua, Moses, my servant is dead. Those days, you can't get there. You can't turn back time and get there. They're all up here now. And they're all in here. But I would beg to ask the question, what did they do and what did they have? First of all, I have no doubt they knew that they were saved. And they knew that they were going to heaven. But they knew the Lord, didn't they? Take your Bible and go over to the book of the Revelation, chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, you should know who we're going to talk about, the church at Ephesus. Revelation chapter 2, he deals with seven churches in Asia Minor. And in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He said, you're working and you're serving. But he said, your desire to do these things is wrong. I think a lot of times we come to church. Let me ask you this. Does church ever enter your mind through the week? Does the service of church ever enter your mind? I'm sure that maybe most of you it does, and I hope that it does. And say, preacher, I even pray for you, and I hope you do. Amen. So I want you to know this old preacher tries his best to pray for you. But the church at Ephesus, they were laboring, and they were working, and they were doing on the outside what they needed to do. But their desire, they had left their first love. Why they were doing it. We do it to serve Christ Jesus, the Lord. I've quoted this many times. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, for I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified. You know why we should work and labor and have patience and can't bear them which are evil? Is because of Jesus today. It has nothing to do with legalism or being pharisaical. Hey, listen, it has everything to do with wanting to please Him today. I believe them old timers had something that a lot of us don't. But listen today, I believe they had righteous living. They wanted to live right. They wanted to live holy and that before God. And don't think that you can live out in this world and bring smut and trash into your house and watch it and listen to it and flip through it. And thank God is going to come by on Sunday and bless us when we get in this house. It ain't going to happen, friend. We talk about used to, but used to is because they had holy and righteous living. He said in Matthew 6, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Too many people are eat up and that with possessions to even care about what the Lord wants. Ephesians 4, He said, "And put you on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." We put off the old man and put on the new man. 2 Peter chapter 3, as he's talking about the second coming of the Lord, he said, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved." He's talking about when the heavens and the earth are on fire and everything is burnt up and being burnt up. He said, "Then seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons you ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness." You know why we look back and say used to? Hey, them old timers had some righteous living. They spent time in prayer with the Heavenly Father. Alright, listen, I'll say it again. Y'all know where I'm headed. We have a 10-cent prayer and want $1 million answer a lot of times and want to see God move and work. And until we get serious, I want to spend some time along with God in prayer, He ain't going to move, friend. It just ain't going to happen. It just won't work. It just you can't just come in here. I can't just come in here on Sunday and bring a little sermonette and that expecting God to come by. So, preacher, are you mad? I ain't mad. I just want to live in the now. I like to look back and say, boy, them are some good memories and have some good times when God come by. But I want to see Him come by again. I want to see Him do something and watch folk get saved and see folk. Hey, listen, they ain't going to get saved until we go get them. You think about that? You go with them till I go with them. They ain't going to get saved. And then you got to disciple them once they get saved. But spend time in prayer. Spend time in prayer. Take your Bible and go to the book of James chapter 5. James chapter 5 talks about Elijah. He uses Elijah as the example of prayer. He said in James chapter 5, look in the middle part of verse 16, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." Now notice what your Bible says. Here you've got a man who is a great prophet. You've got a man that knew how to pray. And it said that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But look what it said at the beginning of verse 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He's no different than us. He had the same failures, the same faults, the same problems, the same insecurities, the same doubts. He struck. Hey, listen, we know from 1 Kings chapter 19 that that Elijah struggled. We know that. He ran and sat under the juniper tree and said, "Lord, I'm not even better than my fathers. Just go ahead and kill me. I wish myself to die. I'm not any better." But it said that Elijah prayed that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by a space of 3 years and 6 months. Now, you're going to tell me that he didn't get in touch with heaven? Elijah didn't have control of the rain, but the God in heaven had control of the rain. And somebody on the face of the earth got in touch, and that was heaven. Why? He knew how to pray. I believe them old timers knew how to pray. They spent time along with God. And even if we wasn't comparing and that the past to now, hey friend, if we want to see God move, we're going to have to spend time in prayer and time in fasting. Them disciples could not cast out that devil over there out of that young child. And they come to the Lord after He cast it out, and He called them a faithless generation, and they said, why could we not cast it out? And He said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. You want to have power with God? Prayer and fasting. You want to have power with God? Hey, you know, sometimes I have power with God, friend, that it's not going to be a wonderful trip in your life. Paul said that because of the revelations that was given him, that the messenger of Satan came to buffet him, and he besought the Lord thrice, and that to get rid of him. And the Lord answered him back and said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And then Paul went on to say that to have the power of Christ rest on him, that he would rather have those infirmities, he would rather have those troubles and problems in his life than he could have the power of Christ. Lord, now you know I don't want to struggle. But I think, and you can throw this out, if you want to. But I think a lot of our problem is we just got it made too good. I've got it made. I mean, look around in this church house. I mean, look what you're sitting on. We're all sitting comfortable, ain't we? And it's probably just as comfortable at your house as it is in here. Hardships have a tendency to make us want to pray a lot of times. Do you not think Elijah prayed? Listen, he prayed that it might not rain. And God said, I'm going to send you down by the brook Cherith. And he said, get thee down and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, for I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now he had to know that if it wasn't going to rain, that brook was going to dry up. And listen, he's got dirty birds, them old ravens, and that going to bring him meat in the day, in the morning, and other evening. But yet he's still over there doing what the Lord wanted. They knew how to pray. Do we know how to pray? Do we know how to get along with God, get in our closet? And I'll say it again, I get in my closet, but I struggle to shut the door. Because that's what he said. When thou enterest thy closet and have shut the door. I get in the closet, but I just don't shut the door real good. And everything else is running through my mind, and every thought and every problem and everything that I want to do when I get done praying, and all this work and this has all got to be done, and I'm not really paying attention to what I'm praying. He says, when thou enterest into thy closet and shut the door. In other words, he's wanting you to get along with him. Do we ever get along with the Lord? Turn the TV off. Set the phone down. Quit looking at it. Set the phone down. My wife knows, and I think I've told you this here before, if I'm studying and somebody needs to talk to me, I'll answer it. As one preacher said, if you can't spend a few minutes with a brother or sister on the telephone, even if you're studying, there's something wrong with you. And I agree to that. I used to. I wouldn't answer the phone if I was studying. But listen, the Lord may be on the other end needing something from me. Amen. But when I'm praying, she knows not to come and bother me. She knows not to tried to say, because I'm having enough trouble myself just to get along with God and begin to pray. Them old timers, what did they have? We're trying to live in the used to and in the past. Hey, we need to figure out how what they were doing and go forward with it. I believe they dealt with sin in their life. I believe the church dealt with sin. I was listening to Brother Ralph preach the other day. I guess it was about 5 or 6 months ago. He was reading the minutes from the church that his wife grew up in. And he went all the way back into the 1800s. And they were, and I mean, they met every month and had business. And if they needed to church somebody, they churched somebody. I mean, they churched them. And he said, we read all the way up and that until the mid-70s. And he said, then you don't find where they were churching anybody. He says, it's hard to play softball when you got to church your shortstop. I thought that's kind of funny myself. Them old timers dealt with sin in their life. How many of us do that? That we'd deal with it. He said, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You know what he's saying? Look on the inside of you. Deal with your sin. You know, David said, cleanse thou me from my secret faults. If there's something in there, listen, it needs to be took care of. You can gather up around the altar and say, Lord, begin to show it to me. Point it out to me. And you know what he'll do? He'll begin to show it to you. Preachers preached against sin. I don't believe the majority of preachers preach against sin. I don't. Hey, listen, you can go. Got to be careful here. I don't want to pick on anybody. But you go to your typical Baptist church today, and they look like the world coming in, and most of the music sounds like the world. If I had to drag that mess in to get a crowd, I just shouldn't shut the door and go home. As long as I'm here, that ain't going to happen. I went off my rocker if that happens. Y'all just vote me out and send me on my way. Amen. Y'all think I'm kidding, but I ain't. But you know what them old... They preached against sin. They dealt with sin. But you know what they done? They'd lift up the Savior, wouldn't they? They lift up the Savior. Well, you know what makes all the difference in the world is you begin to lift Him up. I know what He was talking about over in the book of John in chapter 12 when He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And I know it goes on down to the next verse. It talks about He was speaking of the death that He was going to die. But friend, I'm telling you today that if we would praise Him and lift Him up for what He is and who He is, friend, I believe God would move in our service today. I believe He'd move. Begin to brag on Him. What He's done. Page 2 this morning, we sang out of the black book. He wrote my name. He done the writing. I didn't do the writing. All I could do is just come and gather up around the altar and ask Him to save me. And that's all I needed to do. Not that I got saved, I know that I was lost, and I needed to get saved. I didn't know much else to do except just come and fall down and ask Christ to save me. And I knowed He'd do it. I knowed He would. Amen. Listen, do you know? Do you know Him today? Hey, if you know Him, how you ought to praise Him like you know Him. I mean, Revelations 4 and Revelations 5 both tell us that He's worthy of our praise and our honor. To bless the name of the Lord. David in Psalms chapter 63 said, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. What's David saying? He said, I'll seek Thee early. He says, I'm going to pray early. I'm going to call on You early. I listen in the morning when I get up early. I'm going to begin to seek God. He said, my soul thirsteth, my flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. But what? To see Thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. David said, I've seen you in the tabernacle. I've seen you in the sanctuary where you've come and you met with us. And he says, I want to see that again. Listen, we can't conjure it up. We can't work it up. You know, there's a lot of folk, they come to church expecting choir to sing heaven down. Now, listen, I like it when heaven comes down and the choir sings. I do. I love it. Man, it just, for lack of better words, I just love it and I like how it feels and I like what God does in the midst of all that. Do you know when heaven comes down, whether it's in choir singing, special singing, in the preaching, man, we ought to be praising Him. Amen. Or to be praising Him. Whether you're saying glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord, got your hand up in the air, something, you ought to be testifying about the good things of God and what He's done. Hey, I believe them old timers did have something that made them different than today. We can't live in the past. We look to the past, but we can't live in the past. Number two, and quickly, you can't live in the future. Because tomorrow may not come. Now there is a future out there that's coming for you. Amen. There's a future coming. And you need to know where you're going to spend it. There is an eternity out somewhere, outside of the future, if you let me say that. There is an eternity for every soul. It'll either be eternal life, and that in the Lord Jesus Christ, spent in heaven, and that with Him. Or it'll be an eternal death. I spent in hell in a lake of fire and that for judgment for not accepting Christ as your Savior. There is an eternity. There is a future out there. And you do need to know that you're saved. You need to know that. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know, K-N-O-W, there it is, that you may know that you have eternal life. There is a future out there. How does yours look? Mine looks great and grand. How about yours? Is it bleak? Is hell coming? Is a lake of fire coming to get you? Listen, you can get saved. Amen. And take care of that. Hey, Christ Jesus, the Lord died for you. Took your sin, my sin, at Calvary and paid your sin. Hey, you can get saved today, thank God. That's exciting today. You don't have to die in your sin. You can get saved. Oh, thank God for that. You may be living in the future to get saved. What do you mean? The Bible talks about this with Felix when Paul was preaching to him. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way this time when I have a convenient season. I'll call for thee. He said, Paul, somewhere in the future, I'll get saved. As great and grand as the Bible is, I believe it would have told us whether Felix got saved or not. It tells us everything else. There's nothing wrong. Now listen to me. There's nothing wrong for you to have a long look out into the future. To look. Not to live there, but to look. I have a long look for the church. I've been living on a long look for a long time to see what God and have in my mind and my heart for what God could do for this church. I am living in the now, but I've also got my hand over my eyes on my forehead. Four eyes. Man, I do have four eyes, don't I? Amen. I got there. And to see and to think and just to imagine what God could do here at this church and in your life and in my life. And with your children's life. You ever think about your young'uns? What God might do with your young'uns 15 years from now, 20 years from now, 25 years from now. Sister Pat was with us Wednesday night. Brother Ted Pegram's with her. And it was a joy to see her. I hadn't seen her in a while. I guess since Brother Ted's funeral, which was back in 2016, we went to North Carolina for the funeral. And I was glad to have her here Wednesday night. But she was telling us, her and Brother Ted had three children. And out of those three children, Right now, they've got 12 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren. And I told her, and Sister Pat, I won't tell you how old she is, but she's in her mid-60s, okay? I said, Sister Pat, I said, that is a blessing. You've got to see your children grow up. You're seeing your grandchildren grow up. And now you're getting to see your great-grandchildren. That is a blessing. Now think about this. Think about if they serve the Lord. Think about if your children serve right now. Now get that long look out through there. Get that long look that my children's going to serve God. And well, what could they do for God? How could they serve God? Not what you can tell them to do for God, but just teach them to listen to God and be excited when they do serve God. And them grandchildren, when they come along, some of you are sitting around here and just got young ones now, but you know, if the Lord allows you to live and your child to live and get married and have young ones, listen, you'll have grandchildren. That's the way it works, ain't Brother Jeff? You excited about them grandbabies, ain't you? You ought to be, amen. What was it that Brother Hensley said? They're called grand for a reason. And if he'd known there's going to be them grand, he'd have had them first. Amen. Had them grandbabies first, you know. But listen. Listen, get a long look on your family. Get a long look on your children. But you can't live out there. You can't live out in the future. Because it ain't here. What did James tell us in James 4? He said, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. We can't live out there. As much as we hope for a better time. Some of you hope for a better time you've got today. So, boy, I hope next Sunday the preacher preaches something better than this. You're already living in the future. Already. James said, if the Lord what? We ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. A lot of times, we get out in the future with what's going to happen to us. With sickness. Right? If we ain't careful, we'll let the future scare us to death. We're liable to catch some kind of disease or some kind of disease be put on us and it's going to kill us. Hey, you don't know the truth, it might. These people dying of cancer every day. And I hate that word. Hate it with a passion. We come in here on Wednesday night and we should. And we come in here to pray, and we should. And we should make prayer requests. But I get so tired hearing about cancer. I do. But you know what? There may come a day that my name is attached to that word, and I sure would want somebody to be praying for me. But you can't worry about what might happen or what could happen. I believe it's Adrian Rogers said it the best, you're outrunning your grace. God only gives you grace to deal with what is real and what is now. You're outrunning your grace. When it's out there, God ain't got us out there yet. We're here. We're not there. We're not back here. And we're not out there. We're here. So that brings me to number 3. Just live in the present. He wants us to live for Him today. Yesterday's gone. You can't change yesterday. Whether you did or did not live for the Lord, you cannot change yesterday. Whether you witnessed, whether you prayed, whether you've done any of those things, you cannot change yesterday. Tomorrow may not come. So you know what we do? Hebrews 3 and verse 13, the writer said, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today. He said, do it today. Live in it today. Live for Him. Seek Him and pray to Him. Worship Him. Get saved today if you're lost. Draw nigh to Him if you're far away, but do it today. Because the past is already gone, and what you should have done yesterday, you can't fix. Tomorrow's out yonder. He said, 2 Corinthians 6, for He saith, I heard thee in time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you need to get saved, I want you to come today and get saved. Listen, He said, come now. Now, not tomorrow. Not like Felix said, when I have a convenient season. He said, come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He said, Moses, my servant is dead. Arise, therefore, and go over this Jordan. Some of you are going to have to get out of the past. I've got a dear preacher friend of mine. And he is a dear preacher friend of mine. But he wants to talk about how Mama and Papa done things. Again, there's nothing wrong. As long as Mama and Papa done them right. Nothing wrong with that stuff. But instead of talking about what Mama and Papa done, let's open this book up and see what the book tells us to do. Not in yesterday, but in today. Let's find out what God wants out of our life. Let's bow our head this morning across the house. Brother Jeff, if you would, let's get some verse of invitation today. Maybe you need to come and get saved. I don't know. Maybe you've said in your heart, I'll do it later. I'll do it next week. I'll do it next Sunday. I'll do it, but I'm just not going to do it today. Tomorrow may not come. You say, boy, I wished I'd have done this years ago. Years ago is past. If God's dealing with your heart, He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice, I will open the door. He shall come in and sup with him and he with me. Now let me tell you something. You're looking into the future. I had to go pull an obituary the other day off of a website. And I began to look at all the obituaries down below one. And there was a girl in there, I believe, that was 26 years old. There was a little child in there that was 8 years old. There was folk that were 40 years old and 50 years old, 60 years old, all the way up into their 80s and 90s. I sat there and just looked at their ages as I panned down through there. What I'm trying to tell you is you don't have to be old to die. And you don't have to be old and that to miss the future. So if you're unsaved, I encourage you to get saved. But if you're living in the past, wanting, saying, boy, I used to serve God. I used to live for. I used to teach Sunday school. Well, preacher, I've got old. I can't do those things anymore. Hey, listen, if you can still move and go, you can still do for God today. I tell them folk over at the nursing home, you may not be able to do what you used to do, but you can still serve God. You say, I ain't got time. Now, that's a whole different message. Preacher, we were more busy. We're more busy than those old timers were. I don't know, friend. Most of them farm for a living and work from daylight till dark. Do we do that? Just asking. Where are we living at? Are we living in yesterday or tomorrow? Are we living in today, trying to serve God with our life? I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing. If you need to come, I want you to come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for helping us. We certainly need your help today. Lord, just to kind of make some sense of this message. And I certainly do appreciate you doing that. I hope that it helps somebody. There might be somebody here that's lost. And I pray they'll come and get saved today. I pray you've dealt with their heart. Lord, that they're under conviction. And that you're knocking on our heart, asking them to come and get saved. Lord, they're going to meet you in the future one day. We all are, and I pray they'll meet you saved. Lord, don't let us live in the past. Help us
not to live in the past. I know we can look back and have good memories and fond memories and good times. And I understand there's nothing wrong with that. But we can't live there. The Lord, help us live a life that is pleasing to You. One that would make a difference in folks' lives here as they see You in us and be the example that we need to be. Help these folk out here today and help me in that to serve You in the day, today, while He's called today. And we'll give You the glory for it all. Just help in this invitation for these things in Jesus' name.